Hello, everybody. This is Paul Neeson from Torah Life Ministries. Thank you for listening to the show today. And I teach about the Hebraic roots of Yeshua, the one you call Jesus. And the name of the ministry is Torah Life Ministries, Torah being the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. And they're found in the Bible, in the first five books of the Bible, starting in Genesis. Many Christians believe the Bible starts in the book of Matthew or the New Testament, but there's a problem with the Bibles out there today, and that's the book that the page that separates the original covenant from the renewed covenant, or the Old Testament from the New Testament. Folks, the Bible is one book and not two books, and it's a continuing story from the beginning of time all the way up to Revelation of what's going to happen at the end of time. And in this book is revealed to us the wisdom of our Creator. And today on the show, we're going to be talking just exactly about that, the wisdom of who He is and who He wants us to be. And and what's going on in the world today is people are going more towards the wisdom of man than they're going towards the wisdom of our Creator. So that's why I decided to do this message here today and discuss it. So we just know who He is and what He wants and where we're at and where we should be. So that's hopefully what we'll cover here today and what we'll get through. And if you want to check out my website, you can go to TorahLifeMinistries.org, and you can see a whole bunch of topics on discussions on this topic. And we also do live fellowship every Friday night at 10 p.m. On that website as well. But so man's wisdom versus our Creator's wisdom. Basically, it comes down to the ideas of man versus the wisdom or of our Creator. And another way you could say it is, who do you fear, man or our Creator? The fear of man versus the fear of our Creator. I would suggest when we look at the man-made wisdom is the greatest threat to man today and has always been throughout time is his own wisdom. That's the greatest threat. I mean, with all of the weapons of mass destruction around the world today and everything going on with all the toxins and everything else, still, the greatest threat to man is himself and his own wisdom. Basically, what it does is it shortens a life. It shortens our life. If the thing we value the most is our life, why would we want to rely on things that shorten our life? If we look at the scriptures in Proverbs 14:12, it says, "There is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death." Now, folks, we're all going to die, but they're not just talking here about a physical death. They're talking about a spiritual death. But if we rely on our own wisdom, our own understanding, we are going to die spiritually and physically way sooner than we have to. So we need to get right with this, and we need to understand that's the greatest threat to man is his own wisdom. And the greatest gift to man is the wisdom of our Creator, the wisdom of Yahweh. Because if the wisdom of man shortens life, the wisdom of our Creator prolongs life. It says in Proverbs 9:11, wisdom will multiply your days and add years to your life. So there's many verses in Scripture stating that we have some type of control to the quality and the quantity of our life based on how we act, how we live, and what we do. And those people that say, oh, when our time is up, our time is up. And then they say, well, I wouldn't want to be sitting on a plane in front of somebody whose time would be up like now. But no, that's not the case. We have some say in it. We do. And basically, Proverbs 9:11, wisdom will multiply your days and add years to your life. They're talking there about the wisdom of Yahweh, the wisdom of our Creator. And let's just look at man's wisdom versus Yahweh's wisdom for a second here. Let's look at this and see what exactly I'm getting at. Man's wisdom, it goes along with the title, as a man thinketh, so he is. It leads to negative, destructive actions and emotions. We get, from man's wisdom, it leads to things like pride, this new age concept of karma. It leads to depression and imperfection. None of these things are good for us in our life, and they all have results that will shorten our lifespan if we do not repent and do something about it. But then we look at the wisdom of Yahweh and what it means according to the Word, according to the Bible. The wisdom of Yahweh means fear Yahweh, fear our Creator. The fear of Yahweh is the true wisdom, and we look at what it leads to. We already said it leads to adding to our life or lengthening our life, but what it leads to is joy, freedom, humbleness, perfection in Yeshua HaMessiah. And all of those things will expand our life and give us the highest quality life out there. So what does it mean to fear our Creator? What does it mean to fear Him? Because we say wisdom is a fear of Yahweh. Well, what does that mean? Well, number one, it means to have reverence and also to be able to yield or submit to our Creator's will, to His guidelines and instructions. And if we don't have the reverence to understand what His guidelines and instructions are, or the desire to seek His guidelines and instructions, how are we going to know what's right or wrong? How are we going to know what to submit to? This is why there are so many people out there today that submit to man or wrong gods and everything else, because they just don't know. So we must have reverence and submit or yield to our Creator's desires and instructions. Basically, what it comes down to is when we fear Him and understand His word, His guidelines, and His instructions, we receive a conviction when we're doing something wrong. And the conviction isn't coming from somebody pointing their finger at us. The conviction isn't coming from somebody telling us something. The conviction is coming from, we know that's wrong because we know what our Creator's will is for us. Because it says it right there in the scriptures, what His will is there for us. And we're not meeting that. So basically, we have fear over the consequences of not listening to Him. And it's not something that He's going to be standing there waiting to punish us. But there are consequences to going against His plan, against His ideas. And we should live in fear of that. And we live in a time today that man has lost that fear of our Creator. They've let go of that. They've lost that. And they fear the world's ways and people of the world more than they fear our Creator and fear doing things. The scriptures talk about running and from sin and avoiding sin at every cost, so much so to cut your hand off if your hand is costing you to sin. And that might sound crazy to some of you and say, oh, we can't take that literal. But I know some of you out there, when you get something like a diagnosis from your doctor and your doctor says, well, we're going to have to cut that hand off or take that organ part out of your body. Now, because the doctor says it doesn't sound so crazy. But when our Creator says cut that hand off to prevent you from sinning, you say, we don't take that literal. And I'm not suggesting that you cut your hand off for anything. What I'm saying is that we fear man more than we fear sin or more than we fear our Creator. And we need to fear sin. We need to run from it and not embrace it. And we need to avoid man. So what it comes down to is the pleasure of the flesh has overtaken the suffering that Yeshua did for us. And people would rather appease their flesh than to suffer the way Yeshua did, the way we are called to. If we truly fear our Creator, folks, you would understand the joy that comes along with suffering for righteousness. You wouldn't be seeking the pleasures of man more than the suffering that comes for righteousness. You'd embrace it. Remember, folks, and this is something we have to think about. Your investment is not here on earth. It's in the place to come. It's in heaven. It's in the kingdom to come. It's not here on earth. So you fear man and you want to appease man, you want to appease the flesh, you want to have the big house, the big cars and everything else and all the money here. But what are you investing in? What are you sowing in the future? You have to get it. There's no middle ground when it comes to our Creator. There's no neutrality. You either fear our Creator or you fear man. That's it. You can't do both. Who are you going to serve? The scriptures say, today I give before you life and death. Choose life so you shall live. Do not make the same mistake they made during the time this scripture was given, where the people answered not a word. If you want to choose the narrow path, the path of Torah that Yahweh laid out before us, that leads to that narrow gate, which is Yeshua, we have that opportunity. Let's look at this Isaiah 33:6 versus Hosea 4:6. And we look at life versus death. It says here in Isaiah 33:6, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your times, and the strength of Yeshua and the fear of Yahweh. That is man's treasure. So that's speaking life and telling you The wisdom is the fear of Yahweh. That is man's treasure. And then we go on the other side of it. We look at the death side of it, the things that speak in death. Hosea 4:6 says, my people have perished for lack of knowledge. My people, the so-called believers, the confessing ones, have perished for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you from being priests for me. Since you have forgotten your guidelines or the instructions or the will of your Creator, I also will forget your seed. So not only are you putting this death sentence on yourself, you're also putting it on your future generations by simply not embracing life, not choosing the wisdom of our Creator, or choosing the wisdom of man over the wisdom of our Creator. And that's the problem it equals. Man's treasure is not found in gold. It's not found in big house of money. It's found in the wisdom of Yahweh. Job 28:17 says, wisdom is more valuable than gold and crystal. It cannot be purchased with jewels mounted in fine gold. Folks, do you read your scriptures? Do you understand what it's saying? If you go to Wall Street or you go to a bank and you're saying, what is the most valuable thing in here? And the fellow in the bank on the other side says, we have a lot of money in here. But we have something even more valuable. And he pulls out a box with a whatever it is. And he said, this is more valuable. You're going to take it that is more valuable. You're not just going to say, well, that's your opinion or not take that seriously. Well, our Creator's telling us here in Job 28:17, what is more valuable than the world's ways? What's more valuable than jewels and fine gold and crystal? What's more valuable than that? It says wisdom. Wisdom, and they're not talking about the man-made wisdom that shortens our life. They're talking about the wisdom of our Creator that prolongs it. Proverbs is another word for wisdom. And in Proverbs 3:4, it says, for wisdom is more profitable than silver, and her wages are more better than gold. Something better and more profitable than silver and gold on a monetary scale and every scale, on a whole big picture scale, is the wisdom of our Creator, which is the fear of Yahweh. Proverbs 8:11 says, for wisdom is far more valuable than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with it. That is powerful, folks. Are you connecting with your Bible to understand what this means? That is how valuable it is. The most valuable thing you could have is the fear of our Creator. Because if you want to be living right in a righteous life, you have to have the fear of our Creator. Let's go here and look at Job, a man who had tremendous wisdom. He had tremendous fear of Yahweh, but he still had some issues to work on. And we're going to take a look here at Job 28:23-28, and we're going to see what exactly it says about wisdom. It says here in Job 28, it says, Yahweh alone understands the way to wisdom. He knows where it can be found, for he looks throughout the whole earth and sees everything under the heavens. He decided how hard the wind should blow and how much the rain should fall. He made the laws for the rain and laid out the path for lightning. Then he saw wisdom and evaluated it. He set it in a place, examined it thoroughly. And this is what he says to all humanity. The fear of Yahweh is true wisdom. To forsake evil is real understanding. That's powerful, folks. So there we have it. That's what true wisdom is. And it says in Psalms 111:10, fear Yahweh is the fear of Yahweh is the foundation of true wisdom. All who obey his commandments will grow in wisdom. Praise him forever. So it says all that obey his commands will grow in his wisdom. Basically is if you have the fear of Yahweh, you're going to follow what he told you to do. If you have the fear of Yahweh, you're going to do his will. And his will gives us a whole list of how we should live our lives. It says, all who obey it will continue to grow in wisdom. Growing in what's going to add to our life and not take it away. And then we look at Micah 6:9. Micah 6:9 says, the voice of Yahweh calls out to the city. And one of sound wisdom will see your name and hear the rod and he who appointed it. You understand, the voice of Yahweh calls out to everyone, not just the city, but to everyone, everywhere, calling out. And the one of sound wisdom, the one who truly has the fear of Yahweh, will see his name. They will hear the rod, and they will appoint, and he who appointed it. understanding where this is coming from. It's not coming from man. It's coming from our Creator. So we need to strive for the fear of Yahweh. But you got to be careful. You got to be careful. Because the scriptural proof to show, once you get it, you can lose it. So it has to be something that's done on a consistent basis, consistently. To be alert, and always remember, the enemy is prowling. Wisdom 1:7 of Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of Yahweh is the foundation of true knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. Wisdom and discipline. You need them hand in hand. They must go together. That's what we need. See, we had King Solomon who had the wisdom, but he didn't have the discipline. And look at the trouble it got him in. 1 Kings 3:10 says, Yahweh was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom. 1 Kings 4:29, Yahweh gave Solomon very great wisdom and understanding and knowledge and vast as the sands to the seashore. So he had this. He had this, but he didn't have the discipline. His issues, we see in 1 Kings 3:3, he loved Yahweh and followed all the decrees of his father David, except he offered sacrifice and burned incense to the local place of worship. He lacked that discipline to be obedient in all areas. 1 Kings 1:11 said, now King Solomon loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughter. He married women from Moab, Aram, Edom, Sidon, and from among the Hittites. So he had wisdom, but he didn't have discipline. He relied eventually more on his own feelings and his own flesh than he did on Yahweh's wisdom. 1 Kings 11:2 says, Yahweh had clearly instructed the people of Israel, you must not marry because they will turn your hearts to their gods. Yet Solomon insisted on loving them anyway, saying you must not marry them in terms of other people of other belief systems. 1 Kings 11:8 said, Solomon built such shrines for all his foreign wives to those to use for burning the incense. And that's what he did. The results, 1 Kings 11:9 says, Yahweh was very angry with Solomon, for his heart had turned away from the Creator, the God of Israel, who has appeared to him twice. And then it goes on to say in verse 11:33 of Kings, 1 Kings, for Solomon had abandoned me and worshipped Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonites, Chemosh, the god of Moab, and Molech, the god of the Amorites. He has not followed my ways and done what is pleasing in my sight. He has not obeyed my decrees and regulations as David his father did. He relied on his own wisdom, his own ideas, his own way, his flesh. He didn't have the fear of Yahweh because he didn't have that discipline, even though Yah tried to give it to him, and he lost it. So we need these together. We need wisdom and we need discipline. So us to have one for another is not going to do it. Luke 11:31 says, the Queen of Sheba will stand up against this generation on Judgment Day and condemn it. For she came from a distant land to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Now someone greater than Solomon is here, but you refuse to listen. So we have the wisdom that was blessed to King Solomon. We have Yah giving so many people wisdom to teach people throughout the scriptures. It was rejected, rejected, rejected. But this says, but someone greater is coming. More wise, more wisdom with the discipline, and that is Yeshua. Jeremiah 2:19 says, your wickedness will bring its own punishment. Your turning from me will shame you. You will see what an evil, bitter thing it is to abandon Yahweh, your Elohim, and not fear him. I, Yahweh, your creator of heaven's armies, have spoken that to his prophet Jeremiah. You either fear Yahweh or you don't fear Yahweh. We need to have that fear of Yahweh. And we look in scriptures and we see people who did have that fear. One of my favorite verses in scripture, one of the most important verses that people overmiss, is it talks about the faith of Job. And it's found in Job 23:10-12. It says, But he knows when I am going and when he tests me. I will come out as pure as gold. For I have stayed on our Creator's paths. I have followed his ways and not turned aside. I have not departed from his commandments. And here's the word. There's a word here, folks, that you need to pay attention to. It says, but I have treasured his words more than my daily food. See, that's a New Living Translation. Let's look at a King James Version in Job 23:12. It says, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Folks, that word necessary means everything, because without that word necessary, there's no significance to this scripture. What Job is saying is, his words are more important than my life. His words are more important than my flesh. He's speaking that, saying that that's everything to him, is our Creator's guidelines and instructions, because Job had fear of our Creator, and he had that wisdom. And we look throughout the scriptures of people who had this wisdom. We look at people throughout the scriptures that had this fear, and how it blessed them to live in joy and not the fear of man and the worry of man. One of the greatest books that I look at often and I love is Fox's Books of Martyrs. Fox's Books of Martyrs is a book of a whole bunch of people that were pretty much martyred because they were not willing to depart from the wisdom of our wonderful Creator and follows man's systems and man's ways. They had such crimes that people were committed for, such as not going to Mass and not making confession and all these things that have to do with the Catholic Church and people denouncing Yeshua and just doing these other things. But I remember a story of all the stories in there. We look at all the followers of Yeshua that were martyred for, because they had that wisdom and a fear of him, and all the people over time that were, and all the people that were willing to be like Daniel, not to eat the king's food, rather get thrown in the fire than to submit to that. And he had the true wisdom of Yahweh, the fear of Yahweh. But in Fox's Books of Martyrs, it's a big book of stories of all people after people with this wisdom. But I remember a story in page 142. It says, "A Protestant gentleman being ordered to lose his head for not renouncing his religion went cheerfully to the place of execution. And the farrier, who was in charge in those days, came to him and said these words in a low tone of voice, 'As you have great reluctance publicly to adjure your faith, whisper confession in my ear, and I will absolve your sins.' To this the gentleman loudly replied, 'Trouble me not, farrier. I have confessed my sins to Yahweh and obtained absolution through the merits of Yeshua Messiah.' Then turning to the executioner, he said, 'Let me not be presented with these men or pestered with these men, but perform your duty.'" Not wanting to take any more time dealing with these men. And that is the fear of wisdom that we look at. It was all throughout the scriptures. We look at the Apostle Paul, who was willing to give up his life. Willing to give up his life. Even though at one point he didn't even believe, now he's willing up to give his life because now he has the fear of Yahweh upon him. You know, you look at what the Apostle Paul did, traveled all over the world, and his greatest desire was to go to take the gospel to the most evil kingdom around back then. The most evil was Rome. It was the most evil place back then. But today when we think about that, because we're not connecting with our Bible, we hear Rome and we think some travel destination or something else. But no, that's not what it was. Rome, what Paul did by desiring to go to Rome was like me saying, I want to go to ISIS to preach the gospel to the leader of ISIS. You know, but he had the fear of Yahweh upon him and knew he would be just fine. And so did every apostle. They were all martyred, except John. And even John was willing to be, because they had that fear of him. Isaiah 33:6 says, "In that day he will be a sure foundation, providing a rich store of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. The fear of Yahweh will be your treasure." Again, your treasure, the wisdom. 1 Samuel 12:24 says, "But be sure to fear Yahweh and faithfully serve him. Think of all the wonderful things he has done for you." And that's the message or the verse that I want you to remember from this scripture. 1 Samuel 12:24. Be sure to fear Yahweh and faithfully serve him. Think of all the wonderful things that he has done for you and that he continues to do for you. Wherever you are, wherever you go, think about those things. And don't forget those wonderful things he's given you. Yeshua setting us free from death row so we can go out there and do it the right way and get it right this time. Now, before we end, I want to look at 1 Corinthians 1:19 to 30. And I want to go through this. And this is so powerful and important for you to get. All right? So So praise our wonderful Creator, everybody. Thank you for getting this and understanding this, and I pray that you really live this out. In 1 Corinthians 1:19 to 30, it says, as the scriptures say, I will destroy the wisdom from the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent. So where does this leave philosophers and scholars and the world's brilliant debaters? Yahweh has made the wisdom of this world look foolish. Since Yahweh in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom, he has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. It is foolish to the Jewish people who ask for signs from heaven, and it is foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. So when we preach that Yeshua was crucified, to the Jewish people are offended, and the Gentiles say it's all nonsense. But those called by Yahweh to salvation, both the Jewish and the Gentiles, Yeshua is the power of God and the wisdom of God. You understand? It's right there. It's in the scriptures. It says in verse 25, this foolish plan of Yahweh is wiser than the wisest of human plans, and Yahweh's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes, or powerful or wealthy, when Yahweh called you. Instead, Yahweh chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerful to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used to them to bring nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of Yahweh. Yahweh has uttered you with Yeshua. For this benefit, Yahweh made him to be wisdom itself. Yahweh made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. Hallelujah. So before we end, folks, I want to thank you and just encourage you. 1 Titus 2:12 says, and we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures, and we should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to Yahweh. And then James 3:17 says, but wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is a peace, loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy, good deeds, and it shows no favoritism, and is always sincere. Thank you, everybody, for listening to this message today. You can hear my other message on my website. Thank you. Have a great day, and shalom.